Support for On Point with Tom Ashbrook and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage's completely online process lets you get a custom mortgage solution wherever and whenever you want. Check out Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point from Philadelphia and the Democratic National Convention. It is day three of the convention, and we are in the thick of it. Last night, Lena Dunham, Meryl Streep, Bill Clinton, and a whole lot more worked hard to personalize Hillary Clinton, to paint a more intimate picture of a change maker, said Bill. But history was made by a simple, basic fact. She is a woman. The first ever nominated by a major political party, the closest ever to the presidency now. This hour on Point from Philadelphia, women on the woman who could be the next president of the United States, Hillary Clinton. You can join us on air or online with this conversation is always on. What does it mean to you that a woman is now at the top of the ticket, first time ever? Will it matter in your vote? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. We will talk in a few minutes with Roxane Gay and NPR's Asma Khalid. Joining me now here in Philadelphia, J. Newton Small, Washington correspondent for Time magazine, author of Broad Influence, How Women Are Changing the Way America Works. Jay, it's great to see you again. Thanks for being here.
Tom, great to see you.
Also with us from Philadelphia, Eleanor Clift, Washington correspondent for The Daily Beast. She's covered every presidential campaign since 1976. Count them, Eleanor. Welcome back to On Point. Great to have you here.
Glad to be with you, Tom.
Wonderful to have you. Let's listen to just a little sound first from Monday night when we had First Lady Michelle Obama raising the issue of the possibility of a woman being president of the United States.
Because of Hillary Clinton, my daughters and all our sons and daughters now take for granted that a woman can be president of the United States.
And then last night, Barbara Boxer, Donna Brazil, Barbara Mikulski, all weighing in, just three of the powerful women who made their case as women for Hillary Clinton.
Are you ready to elect the very first woman president of these United States of America? Let me hear it.
I have never, ever in all of my years seen a leader so committed to delivering that better future to America's children as Hillary Clinton.
So on behalf of all the women who have broken down barriers for others and with an eye toward the barriers ahead, I proudly praise Hillary Clinton's name and nomination to be the next president.
First top of the ticket ever for a major political party in the United States. Eleanor Clift, we know this is a big deal. I mean, after all, it took more than a century for women even to get the vote. It's taken nearly a century after that for a woman to come at the top of the ticket, and she's not president yet. And yet, somehow in Denver, when it was Barack Obama as the first African-American in 2008, there was a more climactic feeling about it. What's right. Big and what's not for us now here, Eleanor?
Right. I think those of us who have long anticipated this moment and who have, as a reporter, covered all of the groups that have been advocating for this, are kind of scratching our heads and trying to figure out, you know, why isn't there more excitement about it? There's no way it's going to match how the country felt about electing Barack Obama. There is a sense of inevitability about this. We've seen so many firsts in recent years that, okay, it's just one more. And I think there's just, she's a political figure. She's not doing all that well in the polls on character issues. There's so much noise around this convention that I'm thinking that the full weight of the transformation in our political system will be felt when she is sworn in on Inauguration Day, when there's no more Donald Trump and there's no Bernie Sanders and Bill Clinton will be in a supporting role, and President Obama will be heading back into private life, and then it's really Hillary Clinton standing alone. I think then maybe the magic that we're kind of looking for at this convention, and it's still somewhat eluding us, I think it will be fully felt then.
there's one picture of what the future may hold. We'll see. J. Newton Small, it was interesting. In the hall last night, I mean, first woman ever in this particular situation. That was the history making. But the speeches, while they talked about that plenty, they were much more focused on her character, trying to make her, more accessible in a new way.
They're trying to make her more human. And that's her problem has been unrelatability, right? I mean, here's a woman who's been in the public eye for almost 30 years. She's had Secret Service protection for 25 years. She, by her own admission, hasn't driven a car since the 1990s. When was the last time Hillary Clinton shopped at Target? And so there is this real push right now to make her relatable to the common woman, the common man, and the common and woman, especially, to make her seem like she's, you know, human and has, you know, as vulnerable as anybody else to attack and to and as strong as anybody else. I mean, really is just she's a caricature at such a point.
Do you think they got that across last night? Bill Clinton had a very long speech there with all kinds of detail that maybe others have heard. I hadn't heard a bunch of it before about how they first met, mm-hmm. Yale Law School, 1971, all the rest, step by step by step. I mean, the fact that she's a woman was part of that. He was mainly saying she makes things happen and she'll do it again.
Well, and that's been part of his stump speech, which I think has been really great, because it humanizes her as here's a woman who has fought for other women and children her entire career. Here's a woman who struggled to make ends meet when she was the primary breadwinner and he was a lowly sort of civil servant earning minor ducats, and she was a partner in a law firm and a mom, and Chelsea was very young. And so he really, you know, again, over and over and over again, you have all these personal anecdotes where people are trying to humanize her and say she's not the caricature, the evil sort of person that Donald Trump portrays her to be and the Republicans have spent the last week portraying her to be. She is this warm, soft person who is a grandma, is, you know, somebody who you can relate to and someone who you can trust to fight for you. And I think that's the message they're trying to get through.
2008, she made much less in her campaign of the fact that she was a woman. Certainly didn't talk about mother and grandmother because she wasn't a grandmother then. Mm-hmm. But last night, it was right there. It was right there in the speeches. Meryl Streep, the actress, took the stage to talk about Hillary Clinton as a female groundbreaker.
What does it take to be the first female anything? It takes grit and it takes grace. Hillary Clinton has taken some fire over 40 years of her fight for families and children. How does she do it?
How does she do it? But there was husband Bill, maybe one day first gentleman Bill, or whatever we're going to call him, talking not so much about gender, but about the fact that she brings change. She's a change maker, he said. Here he was last night.
Hillary is uniquely qualified to seize the opportunities and reduce the risk we face. And she is still the best darn change maker I have ever known.
Change maker. Women's issues also being driven home. There was Lena Dunham, star of the hit show Girls, standing next to America Ferrara of Ugly Betty, explaining why they were standing with Hillary Clinton.
Do you want equal pay for equal work?
Yes.
The right to make decisions about your own body?
Yes.
Paid family leave?
Yes.
As Hillary Clinton says, deal us in.
Deal us in. Eleanor Clift, you'd watched for a long time. These issues, women's issues, workplace issues for women, family issues for women, how prominent in this campaign in the home stretch this year?
Very prominent. And in fact, Ivanka Trump at the Republican convention said her father was going to rewrite the labor laws, and she was going to make affordable, quality daycare, child care available to everyone. I don't think they have any policies to back that up, but they understand it's a powerful issue that it might make sense to talk to it.
But J. Newton Small, in the polls, I mean, we've seen within the last month Hillary Clinton overall with women with something like a 17-point lead. That's very big. But among some groups, just not nearly as big. Mrs. Clinton, among white women ages 50 to 64, just 36% in a poll I'm looking at here. Among white women aged 35 to 49, 34%. There are pockets in her demographic pocket where she just doesn't knock it out of the park with women. Why not?
Well, to be fair, Republicans have always won white women, and I think Mitt Romney won them by like 9 percentage points or something. So it would be a huge swing for white women to turn around and then vote Democratic when they haven't for decades. And, you know, there's... obviously still pockets of support for Hillary Clinton amongst women where she's weak. Particularly millennial women has been something that she struggled with to make that connection, especially with Bernie Sanders in the primary campaign. And she's trying to show that she equals change because she's trying to sort of pick up the revolution where Bernie has left off and to show that she is much more of a change than even Donald Trump would be in office because she's a woman, because she would lead so differently. When I interviewed her for my book, that was the case she made to me, is that she would govern differently as a woman because her life experience was so different as a woman. And that makes her very different automatically right off the bat as a president than anyone else who's ever held the office ever before. And so the case that they're making for change is because they're trying not to seem like a third term for Barack Obama or a third term for Bill Clinton. They're trying to seem like this is going to be something fresh and new and different for all the American people.
Eleanor, when it comes into the home stretch here, and you've got Donald Trump who presents in an extremely masculine sort of bull moosey way, you know, and Hillary Clinton not afraid this time to be there as a woman. How do you see that playing out nose to nose in debate and beyond, Eleanor?
Well, I would quote Michelle Obama says, when they go low, we go high. I think, you know, she has to be tough and fight back, but I think she has to really keep it on the issues. And I think that's what's been pretty striking about this convention. The most successful speeches have been, you know, optimistic. They haven't really been these, you know, guttural blows against Donald Trump. And in fact, Elizabeth Warren, who is usually a huge crowd pleaser, her speech didn't go over all that well because it was a kind of a conventional attack dog on Trump, which has been very successful for her on the stump, and I'm sure we'll see more of it. But the point of this convention was really more to talk up the Democrats and Democratic vision, Big D, and Hillary Clinton. And you know, while there have been a number of broadsides against Trump, they haven't dominated the headlines.
Jane, do you think she can stay high if he goes very low?
That is
you saw in the primaries, GOP, he's a street fighter when you get in debates.
Yeah, I mean, that was Michelle Obama's line, right? Like, they go low, we go high. That seems to be their strategy here, is to just ignore all the nastiest and just talk about happy, positive, fuzzy kittens, children, things we all love, babies, who doesn't love babies, and moms and children and babies.
When we come back, Roxanne Gay joins us, Asma Khalid later in this hour, Eleanor Clift at the Daily Beast, Jay Newton Small with Time Magazine. Please stand by. We're talking with women about the first woman nominee of a major party or the presidency in history. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking with women this hour about the first woman nominee of a major party for the presidency of the United States, about Hillary Clinton, the women's vote, and the White House. You can join us this hour. What do you think? Will Hillary Clinton's gender matter to you when you sit and think about how to vote? And what would be the significance of a woman in the White House, this woman in the White House as president? With Eleanor Clift of the Daily Beast. She's covered every presidential contest since 1976. Jay Newton Small is here, Washington correspondent for Time Magazine. Roxanne Gay joins us in just a moment. Let's listen to just a little bit. This was the moment last night. Bernie Sanders was the last to speak on the floor during the roll call vote, finalizing the nomination of Hillary Clinton by acclamation.
Madam Chair, I move that the convention suspend the procedural rules. I move that all votes cast by delegates be reflected in the official record, and I move that Hillary Clinton be selected as the nominee of the Democratic Party for President of the United States.
And if you stayed up until the end, you saw a montage of all 40-plus presidents, 44 presidents that we have had in this country go by, absolutely every single one, male. All but one white male. And then on the video, huge video screen there in the hall, it looked like it kind of broke open. Out came Hillary Clinton, and here's among the things she had to say. This was by video from New York. She stood next to a little girl as she thanked her supporters.
If there are any little girls out there who stayed up late to watch, let me just say, I may become the first woman president, but one of you is next. Thank you all. I can't wait to join you.
But it was not all lollipops. On that same screen, there was a campaign ad from June strung together a series of statements by Donald Trump on women. They're going to go after this.
Should the woman be punished? for having an abortion?
There has to be some form of punishment.
A person who's flat-chested is very hard to be a 10.
Planned Parenthood should absolutely be defunded.
They said, how are you going to change the pageant? I said, I'm going to get the bathing suits to be smaller and the heels to be higher.
You wouldn't have your job if you weren't beautiful.
So you treat women with respect?
I can't say that either.
All right, good.
And from the podium last night, Cecile Richards, president of Planned Parenthood, said women will stop Donald Trump from getting elected.
He says pregnancy is, quote, an inconvenience for a woman's employer. Well, Mr. Trump, come this November, women are going to be a lot more than an inconvenience. Yep. Because women are going to be the reason you're not elected to be president.
Cecile Richards of Planned Parenthood last night. Eleanor Clift in Philadelphia and Jay Newton Small with me here at the Convention Center. Please stand by. With us right now from Lafayette, Indiana, is Roxane Gay, feminist writer, critic, professor, author of Bad Feminist and An Untamed State. She's going to be the author of the new Black Panther comic series that Ta-Nehisi Coates got going when it comes out a little bit later here. Roxane Gay, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
What were you thinking last night as, among other things, change agent and all the rest, Hillary Clinton's gender was put right forward, right center last night, and history was made with her nomination?
I thought it was wonderful. I think there's nothing wrong with acknowledging the historicity of this moment. She is the first woman to be officially nominated for president of a major party, and I don't want to see that downplayed. I think it's amazing. And I was thrilled last night to see her finally getting her due.
What do you expect it to mean when she's in the White House? Can we still look at this and say it has meaning? Is there a legitimate conversation here about governing differently as a woman? Or is that passé? Is that itself a kind of historical artifact?
I mean, I don't think we have a precedent, but I don't think that she's going to govern differently as a woman. She's going to govern differently as Hillary Clinton, who has never been president before. I think we have to judge her not on her gender once she enters the office, but we can also say it's significant that she's a woman in the office. I think it's not at all true that somehow women are going to do the job differently, but again, we just don't know. I think she's going to do the job better than anyone else out there right now.
Eleanor Clift, so it's not about doing the job differently. It's in that case, simply about equality, a pretty big deal in itself.
Well, I think Hillary Clinton has seen the office operate from a number of different vantage points. Her husband was in the Oval Office. She's been in the Senate. She sees how legislation gets put together. And I think she is keenly aware of the fact that she's got to somehow build bridges with Republicans. And I think she is going to learn from Barack Obama's mistakes. He really has failed to have a decent relationship with Congress. It's certainly not all his fault, but I think she's going to work very hard to overcome that. And that kind of plays into studies about women's leadership styles, that they are, you know, more inclusive. And she demonstrated that when she was in the Senate. She did form partnerships with Republicans who had worked to impeach her husband. So I think if there's a difference in a female style, that may come into play in how she deals with the Congress.
We're going to come to your calls in just a moment with Eleanor Clift, Roxane Gay, Jay Newton Small. Jay, of course, Donald Trump is going right at this. He said, well, all you have is the fact that you're a woman. Here he was attacking Hillary Clinton in his victory speech, stating that being a woman is all she has going for her in this election.
The only card she has is the woman's card. She's got nothing else going. And frankly, if Hillary Clinton were a man, I don't think she'd get 5% of the vote. The only thing she's got going is the woman's card. And the beautiful thing is, women don't like her.
It's not the only thing. That was actually in April when he had just won there. She was responding here in April 26th, Hillary responding to supporters in Philadelphia on this claim that all she has going is being a woman.
Mr. Trump accused me of playing the, quote, woman card. If fighting for women's health care and paid family leave and equal pay is playing the woman card, then deal me in.
Roxane Gay, how do you expect this to play out when it's Trump versus Clinton, head-to-head, nose-to-nose, in debate and on the campaign trail?
I think he's going to continue to harp on the fact that she's a woman, and I think she's going to continue to play to the fact that she's a woman, and that as a woman, she is going to be a lot more intersectional in how she governs. And, you know, the reality is that she was the Secretary of State and a United States Senator, and she was relatively successful in both of those roles. And so when he says she has nothing, it just shows that really he is the one who has nothing. And it's kind of audacious because he's a failed businessman with a bad toupee. And I just think he doesn't have a leg to stand on. What's unfortunate is that misogyny is so virulent in this culture that people listen to him and think, oh, yeah, he's got a point there. It's ridiculous.
Eleanor Clifford, what about it? Misogyny in the culture, do you see it as still alive and potent in this election season? Is that in itself an issue for Hillary?
Well, I think there are a lot of assumptions about how much America has changed, and it hasn't changed with race relations and gender equality and gay issues. But every so often, we get reminded that maybe the country as a whole hasn't changed as much as some of us who live in the center of Washington, D.C., or in New York media circles think it has. So I think this is it's untested. We don't really know how much bias there is against a woman running for this particular role. I'm sure there is some, and maybe those are votes she or any Democrat might not have gotten. But I think this is one of those known unknowns that are out there.
Jay Newton-Small, what do you think about what's changed since the 2008 campaign when she was up against Barack Obama? And in that campaign, she made very little. She appeared to really deliberately tamp down all the conversation about her, the fact of her gender. This time, and you know, that time it was all toughness. This time there's toughness, but the gender is right up front. As you say, as a mother, as a grandmother, she's embraced it. She's wearing it proudly. What's changed? Why?
Well, so there's a different set of standards for women who run for legislative office, as my research showed, and women who run for executive office. And being it's a strength for legislative office to be perceived as somebody who's a consensus builder, as Eleanor was saying earlier, okay. Somebody who could bring people together, a convener. But for executive office, women have to show that they're tough enough. They have to show that they're capable enough in ways that men do not.
And do you mean business executive office or
both.
Governing executive?
Actually, both.
As in White House?
Both. It's mm-hmm. the same standard for female CEOs, mm-hmm. and there's only 5.1% of them in Fortune 1000 companies in America, mm-hmm. as there is for governors. There are only 6 of them of our nation's 50 states, as it is for a presidential office. And all the women that I interviewed who are running for executive office faced the same thing. They had their first election they had to prove that they were tough, and they essentially ran as a man. And you can argue Hillary ran as a man at that in that election. This time around, she's running as a woman, and you could argue that she is potentially the first woman to run as a woman for the presidency in this election, and it is strikingly different. She promotes the historic nature of her campaign in every single one of her events. Her biggest applause line is equal pay, and she talks constantly about women's issues and how she would champion those women's issues in office as compared to other men. But that's because in the second election, women face the opposite problem. It's threading a needle. When you have to prove you're too tough, it's very easy to cross the line and become mm-hmm. a B word. But then you have to also show that you're likable enough. And that's the standard we have for all presidents, right? You have to want to have a beer with them. And so that's what you see in this convention is her trying to make herself likable, trying to show that she is a likable person and that she's not only capable, but she's also likable enough to be president.
Jay Newton-Small, Roxane Gay, Eleanor Clifford, please stand by. Lots of callers for the three of you. Dana in Lexington, Kentucky. Dana, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for having me on. I just wanted to say that I'm a young millennial woman, and I honestly have been waiting for Hillary for over 8 years. I really like the Obama administration, but I did originally vote for Hillary in that first primary. And I think it is, I grew up with a strong, powerful single mom, and I never knew bounds as a girl and as a woman, and I'm even reaching for the stars. And I think Hillary gets a lot of flack for the idea of pulling the woman card, but I think she's allowed to pull the woman card. She has so much more going for her. What a wonderful career she has had, and she's a star politician, and it is time for a woman. You look at South Korea, Liberia, now England with their second, Great Britain with their second prime minister that's a female, Angela Merkel.
Germany,
it is
sure.
about time for the United States to is a pioneer and a spokesperson for human rights. It is time for for us to have a female president as well. And that's why I think it's completely fine to, among other issues, vote mm-hmm. for her as a woman, because she is just, like she said, opening the door for all those girls who are watching her to know that that is a position they can have as well.
Dana, I really appreciate your call from Kentucky. Roxane Gay, step way back with us for a moment. I mean, it is interesting. The U.S. does not do that well on female representation in government. Women, of course, about half the U.S. population, but consistently less than a quarter of those in elected office nationwide. You compare the percentage of female representation in our national legislature, in our Congress, to that of every other country. The U.S. comes out 96th in the world. Step way back, get meta with us, Roxane. What does it mean for our political culture, for our broader culture, if it should be Madam President Hillary Clinton in the White House?
It means that so many more doors are going to be opened for women to enter the political sphere and do so without the constraints, without the glass ceiling that we've been living under for generations. I think it will be so much bigger than people are even realizing right now. I do not think that we're taking it for granted. I think that, again, it's a lot about misogyny. And once people see Hillary Clinton in office and governing in a very capable way, I think that all of a sudden we're going to start to realize the import of what it is that she is doing and what she has accomplished.
Jude in Dayton, Ohio. Jude, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm a lifelong Republican, and I pride myself on voting my conscience. And I looked at Hillary Clinton, and she is so incredibly qualified. It's just amazing that anyone would question her ability to govern or her ability to be a president. And I met her at a meet and greet probably 20 years ago as a Republican, and I remember saying to myself, this woman is so personable, so likable, so warm. So I'm always a little bit surprised by how she's perceived in general. But
so what were you feeling last night, Jude, as a Republican watching her be nominated? What were you feeling?
I was happy. I was thrilled. What I didn't expect was the emotion. I was by myself at home watching, and when I realized it was the first woman in this position, I literally cried. I literally cried, and I wished I had been with a couple other women to reach out and say, good for you, Hillary, and good for all of us. I think
will you vote for her as a Democrat, or are you sticking with the Republican ticket in November, Jude?
I am a Republican, but I'm with her.
Wow. Okay.
Hillary.
Jude, I appreciate your call. I mean, Hillary Clinton talks about what she would do. Maybe as a woman in the White House. This was an MSNBC town hall in April in Philadelphia. Rachel Maddow talking with her there.
I am going to have a cabinet that looks like America, and 50% of America is women.
And this on that same night in April.
Women deserve the same rights as men in every aspect of our economy and our society, here at home and around the world.
Eleanor Clift, I know we're going to lose you in a moment here, but your big thought on how this is likely to play out and what role gender is likely to play in the final outcome of this election this year, Eleanor?
Oh, I think women are going to decide the election, and Hillary Clinton should have an edge with them, and Donald Trump has basically dug a hole with women. So I think you can never take the outcome of any election for granted, and there's so much at stake here with the Supreme Court, the Congress. It's going to be a hard fought, and it's going to be hard fought with gender issues discussed openly in a way that I don't think has ever happened before, because we've never had a woman competing for this office.
So you see it as a net plus going into this contest with this fierce, is kind of unique Republican.
I do. And in 08, the Obama campaign saw the color of their candidate's skin as an asset, because they thought America had changed enough. And I know a lot of the media establishment was skeptical about that. I think Barack Obama's race actually helped him in 08. I think we've seen some ugly backlash in the intervening years.
But I think in the end that Hillary Clinton's agenda is going to help her in the same way that President Obama's skin color helps him.
Eleanor Clift has covered presidential elections since 1976. Great to have you with us here in Philadelphia from the Daily Beast. Eleanor, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook in Philadelphia. This is On Point.
Support for On Point with Tom Ashbrook and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage brings home financing into the 21st century with a completely online process that's fast, easy, and convenient. Using a phone or tablet, you can safely share bank statements and pay stubs without having to dig through piles of paperwork. It takes just a few minutes to get a custom mortgage solution on your terms, wherever and whenever you want. Check out Rocket Mortgage at quickenloans.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org number 3030.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, broadcasting from Philadelphia and the convention hall of the Democratic National Convention. We're talking this hour with women about women, history, and Hillary Clinton, about Hillary Clinton, the women's vote, and the White House. How do you feel about another President Clinton, Madam President Clinton? How do you picture Hillary Clinton going nose to nose as a woman, as a fighter with Donald Trump in the general election? Jay Newton Small is with us from Time Magazine. Roxane Gay is with us, author of Bad Feminist, with us from Lafayette, Indiana. NPR's Asma Khalid joins us in just a moment. You know, it's not all serious when it comes to this subject. There was this funny moment in March. Hillary Clinton appeared on the Comedy Central show Broad City, popular with millennials. Two stars, Abby and Ilana, meet Clinton at her Brooklyn campaign office after Ilana volunteers for a day. They scream in excitement.
Thank you, Ilana. Thank you for all of your help.
You know of me?
Well, you're wearing a name tag.
Secretary Clinton.
Madam. President.
She came. I can't afford to volunteer her full time, but I still want to get the word out. So I vow to tweet once a week, vote for Hillary. Yes, yes, yes.
That would be great. We need to drum up some excitement for the campaign, do everything that we possibly can.
Madam President Xi Jinping there in Broad City. Last night it was a little more serious. Bill Clinton talking about Hillary, a track record. He was the last night at the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia saying, get her in there, she fixes things.
You could drop her into any trouble spot. Pick one. Come back in a month, and somehow, some way, she will have made it better. That is just who she is.
And this, she will, as she has with him, she will stick with you.
You should elect her because she'll never quit when the going gets tough. She'll never quit on you.
Bill Clinton last night at the Democratic National Convention. Asma Khalid joins us right now from Philadelphia, reporter for NPR covering demographics and politics for the 2016 presidential campaign. Asma, thank you very much for being here.
No problem. Nice to be here.
When you look at the demographics and you look at Hillary Clinton, I know you've studied the numbers, you've paid a lot of attention. How does the fact of her gender figure in? How might it figure in when we get to the final polling in November?
Well, gender as a base, I would say, is an advantage for Hillary Clinton. It's an advantage generally for Democrats. Women make up a larger share of the electorate. And given some of the rhetoric we've heard from Donald Trump on the Republican side, there's some talk, both from analysts as well as Republican and independent voters that I've spoken with, that maybe that traditional gender gap that Democrats enjoy could really turn into sort of a gender gulf this year. So she certainly enjoys an advantage with women across the board. I would wonder, and sort of, you know, we'll have to see, on the reverse side, you know, will she do worse with men, particularly white men, than Democrats have done in the past few years?
Donald Trump, very strong in that category. Can we see in the polling so far? Is there a different gap? Do you see a gulf already?
With women, I would say she is enjoying a large advantage. You know, Barack Obama actually lost white women as a bloc in the 2012 election. We so often think of women as being Democrats, but that's largely because of women who are, you know, African-American or Latino. So far in the polling, she seems to be shrinking that gap among white women, doing better there. The reverse question, though, is how large of a defeat, potentially, could she have among white men that would be safe enough for her? And I think, you know, some of the new polling we saw right after the Republican convention that could be cause for the Democrats to worry a bit was the big, big substantive gap between college-educated white voters and non-college-educated white voters. Some polling there showed that Hillary Clinton could be down by as much as nearly 40%. That is a huge margin. And I know, you know, the college-educated population is growing, but it certainly isn't growing fast enough that in some ways she could afford to lose that population as a block. So, you know, in a nutshell, she has an advantage with women, but is that advantage big enough to offset, you know, how she could potentially fare with Donald Trump and some of these other demographic groups? I don't know that it is yet.
Roxane Gay, big difference in tone and theme between these two conventions, Republican last week and the Democrats so far. Lots of talk of fear and danger at the Republican convention. Lots more talk of hope at the Democratic convention. How do you think that plays out through a gender prism as these two candidates go at each other?
Well, I think that Hillary Clinton, because she's a woman and we're harping on this question of likability, has to take a more positive outlook. If she were to take the same tact as Donald Trump, that the world is coming to an end and he's somehow salvation, she would be absolutely excoriated. But I also think it's the right choice to focus on hope. The reality is that it's a good country, and we have a lot going for us, and there are a lot of opportunities here, though those opportunities diminish depending on your identity. But I think it's more important to focus on hope and to focus on what Hillary Clinton can do for the country as a whole, and especially for marginalized people, so that we can all collectively rise. And I hope that she continues doing that. And I hope that we start to move the conversation away from likability, because quite honestly, I don't need to be friends with the president. I need the president to govern and to govern effectively, not only here, but also abroad. And so I think we should be talking more about policy and what kinds of things she's actually going to do for the American people.
We've talked plenty, and we'll talk plenty about that. This issue, when you get into a sort of fear versus hope spectrum, Jay, that this issue of strength and what looks like strength. Donald Trump conveys one kind of strength, this kind of chest up, chest pumping. Yeah. Hillary Clinton, it's a different kind. And I wonder how you see it intersecting with the challenges that are perceived by voters this year.
Well, he has this very hyper-masculine kind of perception where it sort of says, I will protect you. I will, you know, save you from rape, save you from murder. It's sort of hyper-paternalistic. And he's basically trying to scare women into voting for him. Hillary Clinton, especially in this particular setting, is trying to begin to soar. And that's always been her challenge. And frankly, it is a challenge for all female candidates. If you look at Angela Merkel or if you look at Theresa May in the UK, they are perceived and they are pragmatic women candidates. It's very hard for female leaders to soar. Barack Obama can talk about the arc of the moral universe bending towards justice every day. And, you know, Bernie Sanders can talk about free health care and free college and yell at people for 40 minutes and people will want to be yelled at for 40 more. Women are, and it's still an unconscious bias that women suffer from as when they aspire to be leaders, is that they are put in this kind of pragmatism box. And that makes them less likable. But it also means that she ends up, she can't yell the way Bernie yells because people say, oh, she's shrill, mom's screaming at me. She can't dream the way Bernie does and the way Barack Obama does because people expect her to be pragmatic. People think, you know, and she ends up having to play this role of, no, Bernie, we can't afford that jet ski. We have to pay for college. And so what you're seeing here is the beginning of them trying to find a way to have her soar, to inspire, to really get women to dream in a different way and get voters to dream in a different way for their female leaders.
Roxane Gay, what do you think of that? Women can't dream, can't soar. Is it possible Hillary Clinton could win the White House, be the president, and still be in some way in a box?
I think it's possible, but I am really holding on to the hope that she's able to shatter that box because we need her to dream big. We need her to continue to soar. The presidency can't be the end of the dream, quite honestly. It has to be the beginning. And hopefully she will not only fulfill her agenda, but she'll bring on some of the ideas that Bernie Sanders was setting forth about really addressing the problem of big banking and making college more accessible to more people. And so I hope that she continues to dream. But the reality is that the political process is very much hampered by bipartisanship. And we've seen that under the presidency of Barack Obama. So we have to be realistic as much as we would like to believe that somehow everything will be wonderful once she ascends to the presidency.
I mean, there's dreaming and soaring, that's one thing. But there's also getting down and getting real. There was some speaking to that last night in the convention from the stage. They're the mothers of the movement. The mothers were up there of African-American children whose deaths had inspired the Black Lives Matter movement. One of those was Lucia McBath, mother of the 17-year-old Jordan Davis, who was shot and killed after that argument about the volume of music he was playing in his car. Here she was talking about Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton isn't afraid to say that Black Lives Matter. She isn't afraid to sit at a table with grieving mothers and bear the full force of our anguish.
Asma Khalid, she'll get right down there, even in the anguish, and feel it, sit with the mothers and feel it. I mean, is there strength also, not just in puffing and soaring, but in getting down into the problems, as Roxane Gay says we need to, of course. Bill Clinton says she would. Does that work as an electoral appeal? I'll get right down in there with you and fix it.
I certainly think that was the message that a number of the Democratic speakers on stage were trying to make yesterday. You know, I think that Bill Clinton made that point rather effectively, and it seemed like the audience was hanging on almost every word coming out of his mouth. But, you know, in this election, we have seen on both the Democratic and the Republican sides that some voters really do want a change, that they don't want the status quo. And so I think Bill Clinton was trying to, you know, not only humanize a woman that some folks have seen is somewhat inhuman this campaign, but also effectively say that she's the best darn change maker he's seen and that she will not be the status quo. And I think that is a direct appeal to some of those younger millennial women voters who feel that Hillary Clinton is just a continuation of the status quo. And that's what they need to hear. So whether or not it'll be effective, I guess, you know, we'll have to see as the election plays out. But I will say, you know, Tom, I spoke to a number of young women yesterday on the floor. And I will say, you know, the presumption that or the assumption that younger women would not be on board with Hillary. This is a generation of women who are extraordinarily liberal. So, you know, whether or not they turn out to vote, I don't know. But they're also extremely diverse, African-American, Latino. And some of them told me that the idea that they would not come on board with Hillary or that they would be never Hillary comes from sort of a point of privilege and a point of privilege that they said that they do not have if they are, you know, the daughter, one woman told me, of people who are in this country illegally, or a young Muslim woman who said that she didn't feel she had the privilege to be never Hillary. So, you know, as much as we talk about younger women, I think some of this does come down to identity and this generation just being so much more diverse than earlier generations.
Let's go to Gerald in Austin, Texas. Gerald, thanks for joining us. You're on the air.
Hello, thank you for having me. I just want to make a quick point about earlier in the conversation you asked why there isn't such fervor about Hillary being the first woman nominee. I'd just like to point out, where were all these people when Sarah Palin was the first vice president nominee? The reason why there was no excitement is because Sarah Palin was wrong on the issues. For Bernie supporters, Hillary is wrong on the issues. And that's why there's no fervor. That's all I wanted to make. Thank you.
A Sanders angle on the issues and maybe a piece of the gender question there as well. Gerald, thanks. In Texas, Angela in Champaign, Illinois. Angela, you're on.
Hi, thank you. First of all, I wanted to tell you my demographic. I'm in the 50 to 64-year-old college-educated, white, working female demographic, raising three kids and had a fairly successful career. So I wanted to respond. I felt like I was in a good position to be able to respond to some comments that were made earlier, observations about Hillary's likability, and for instance, things like she doesn't, and her relatability, and she doesn't shop at Target, and she doesn't drive a car, for instance. And I understand those sentiments and can understand why folks might raise those as a relatability issue, but I would agree with one of your contributors that I don't need to be friends with the President of the United States. And my perspective as a working mom is I have even more respect for someone like Hillary, who has not
been able to do the everyday things that the rest of us take for granted and shop at Target and drive a car. Instead, she's been working, in my opinion, much harder and sacrificing those everyday things so that she can raise the collective lives of all of us, as was stated by one of your contributors. And honestly, shame on me for not doing more of that myself and others of us. So the likability, the relatability things are less relevant for me. What I want is someone in the White House who has spent their career sacrificing what the rest of us take advantage of or take for granted to improve the lives of people that she doesn't even know, and to work hard for people that she doesn't even know. And that's the kind of person that will continue that effort in the White House. And
so Angela, we've got it. Our time is short. I appreciate your call so much. So we get one more Angela from right next door, Urbana, Illinois. Angela in Urbana, you're on.
Hi there.
Hi.
I wanted to say that as a woman who is raising two young children, I'm really thrilled about the tone of the convention last night. I'm glad that we're finally celebrating the fact that this is the first female Democratic nominee. And I hope that white males can get on board. Any of them that are raising young daughters, I hope that they can realize that this gives them hope for tomorrow, that they can also be anything they want to be. I think there is an implicit bias against Hillary, unfortunately. I think very much even liberal men. I ran into a man at work who was talking about how she isn't a progressive. And I said, well, she's fighting for women's rights. She's been that way for a long time, for fighting for families, and that reproductive rights and equal pay for women, those are progressive issues. And I think I felt a little robbed by Bernie supporters in them not supporting the fact that she is progressive in that way.
Progressive is absolutely in the category of working for women. Angela, we've got it, and I appreciate your call. Well, there it is, the humanized Hillary being presented last night. The history having been made already as a nominee of a major party in this country, never before in all these years of history. Took more than a century for women to get the vote. Took almost a century for women to come to the place that she's at now. We'll see what difference that makes as the general election now rolls forward toward November. Jay Newton Small, author of Broad Influence, How Women Are Changing the Way America Works. Thank you so much for being with us today, Jay.
Tom, thanks for having me.
Asma Khalid with NPR. Always good to hear from you, Asma. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Roxane Gay, author of Bad Feminist. Roxane, when does your Black Panther comic come out?
The first issue should drop in November.
Move over, Ta-Nehisi Coates. Roxane Gay is on the Black Panther comic front. Roxane, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
We are with you from the Democratic National Convention in Philadelphia. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.